Brandon Nimmo, welcome back to Queens. The Mets bring back Nimmo, 8 years, $162 million. And Figgy, they weren't done there. David Robertson, they didn't trade for him at the trade deadline. Instead, they flashed $10 million, and he took it. And he's the new Mets setup man. Uncle Stevie, praise thee. He is our God, Figgy.
He does the right thing by helping to shore up the bullpen, but there's also a few other moves that he made that will make Mets fans very, very happy this Christmas season.
It may be having them chant Jose, 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 Jose once again for Quintana. A lot of moves are made, and it's an emergency edition of Amazing But True from the New York Post, and it's coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Queens, New York. Mets take the field.
So amazing, amazing but true, orange and blue, so amazing.
Here's the pitch.
New York folks,
it's out of here.
We got you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to an emergency episode of Amazing But True, our New York Mets podcast. From the New York Post, there's so many emergencies in Mets land this week. You think we're putting out a fire, Figgy? Jake Brown, Nelson Figueroa here. Yeah, we're fired up on this Thursday night, recording at midnight, fresh out of me seeing MJ musical. The first time I shut my phone off since like the Bush presidency when I had a flip phone, and the Mets go out and make a splash. My goodness, you get a free agent. You get a free agent. You get a free agent. Unfortunately for the rest of Major League Baseball, that you is Steve Cohen. He's buying your mother, your father, your uncle, your sister, and your cousin. This guy is filthy rich, and he's taking everyone. He's taking names. Unbelievable, Figgy. The Mets go out Thursday night. They re-sign Brandon Nimmo. He's back. All smiles. Smiles here. 8 years, $162 million. Oh. That wasn't enough? Fine. Let's go get one of the best setup men of our generation. I don't think that's an exaggeration either. And sign David Robertson to a one-year, $10 million deal. Nimmo's back. Robertson's a Met. Verlander's a Met. Jose Quintana's a Met. Brooks Raley is a Met. Did I forget anyone? It's been nonstop. What an offseason. And it's only December 8th, Figgy. Happy holidays, Mets fans.
We haven't even hit Hanukkah yet, right? I thought it was eight nights of Hanukkah. You're supposed to get a present each night. This guy is amazing right now. I think what you're looking at is when you say a win now mode, this is a win now mode. And they're trying to do everything they can to make this team a success front to back and leave no stone unturned. And that's what you hope for when you have ownership of this caliber. And when we heard about the luxury tax and how they were changing it to make it even more difficult for owners to spend, he just laughed. He laughed right in their faces and said, not a big deal. I have chump change in my ashtray of my car that I can pay this off with. And just continues to not spend frivolously either. I mean, he's making some good deals. He's making some deals that are smart deals. You look at Brandon Nimmo, and we talked about it before, that I kept saying he looked great in pinstripes, even if it was across in the Bronx because of the kind of player he is, right? The kind of player, what he does, what he's capable of doing. You know, he's an asset to any team. And Scott Boras, of course, painted the picture better than anybody. He said, whoever your center fielder is right now, other than probably six guys, he's better than them. And the numbers speak to that. In the last six, since he was there in 2016, last 6 years, as a center fielder, he's top five when it comes to on-base percentage. He's top five when it comes to weighted runs created. That means that a guy gets on, a guy's able to score from first base. That means his value is such that he can provide that leadoff power as well with 16 home runs this year. I still think he's a 20-25 home run guy. He just hasn't been able to kind of find out or figure out who he wants to be at times, because he tries to get these walks, tries to outsmart the umpire, tries to win the 3-2 at bat and just start running off, and he takes a lot of call strike three. I think you're going to see a little bit more aggressive Nimmo, because you know behind you is going to be a guy like Starling Marte, who does have the same skill set, can get on, can score from first base, can also leave the ballpark. So I look at a Brandon Nimmo as it's a tremendous signing. It's something that now you can kind of move on to the things that you really needed to focus on. And oh yeah, the bullpen was the number one thing we talked about, and they went right out and they got somebody like David Robertson, who again, a veteran who is what you want to be able to hand the ball off before Diaz, a guy that you don't have to worry about. He's been through everything that you can imagine in a baseball uniform, and excited to see him in a Mets uniform as well.
Hanukkah doesn't start till December 18th. It's starting early. Eight crazy nights. Where's Adam Sandler? Maybe before Hanukkah, Kode Senga is a New York Met too. It seems inevitable at this point. If you are a free agent, the Mets have your number, and they have it on speed dial, and they got cash to throw through the phone. They're handing it to you through the phone. There's no Soulja Boy kiss me through the phone. It's cash me through the phone. Steve Cohen is filthy rich. He's doing it all. He's doing what we've waited for as Mets fans our whole life. My entire life, I've watched the Yankees spend every last dollar. They're taking change from bums outside Yankee Stadium. They got every dollar in the books. We're the rich kids in town now. We're Richie Rich. Uncle Richie Rich, Steve Cohen. It's been a joy to watch, because yeah, you could say we're buying a title, Figgy, whatever. We have been broke. We've been the homeless man begging for change. We've been asking Bernie Madoff for the money back that he stole from us. Now Steve Cohen doesn't give a flying F-U-C-K. He will do what he wants.
Because nobody knows how to spell.
He will do whatever he wants. That's avoiding the curse words, Figgy. That's avoiding the bleep button. And guess what? Jacob DeGrom, here you go. You want this jersey? I won't burn it because I don't want a fire hazard in my building right now. But you say you had the same vision as the Rangers to go win a championship in Texas. Well, the only time that's winning a team that's winning a championship is in Queens, the New York Mets. So go enjoy Texas, where you won't win Jack S-H-I-T.
Jeez, you're on fire, dude. Listen, you go across town and you see what the Yankees have done. And yeah, they did the one thing that they had to do, right? Spare no expense, $360 million, 9 years to Aaron Judge. But the team didn't get any better, right? The team didn't get any better. All they did was get poorer, because they have to pay him his dues. So take those $360 million and see how the Mets have sprinkled all the things that they've done. They've made their team immensely better than it was just a year ago. Like right now, we're sitting around trying to figure out who the pieces that'll still stay and play, and how do you have room for Escobar if Beatty's going to play? And oh yeah, forgot Guillorme's up there, who's Gold Glove defense and, you know, batted over 300 while he was healthy. You're trying to find room for all these guys now. You know, your Vogelbach, yeah, it was fun while it lasted. If you can get a DH and you can slot them in there, even if it's a one-year deal, bring in a DH at a one-year deal who can, you know, go in there and bang with the rest of these guys, and you're looking to provide a spark like never before. Like the anticipation for the season is already through the roof, and all you keep hearing is that they're not done yet.
I want the season now. I gotta wait 4 months, Biggie. Give me opening day. I was at MJ the Musical with my pops. Take me on a, you know, a flight to Citi Field. Take me in an Uber to Citi Field. I'm ready for opening day. I'm fired up. And if you're a Mets fan, how could you not be? Like, if there's any negativity out there, find God. I mean, find Brandon Nimmo. He knows where God is. I mean, he's a big religious guy. Go to church with Brandon Nimmo, because there is like nothing to be negative. This is not our money. $388 million after luxury tax, $333, $65 in luxury tax. And like you said, that's Charmin for him. That's Scott. My parents use Scott. I'm a Charmin guy. I don't like when I go home.
Are you a one ply or a three ply?
I'm a double strong, baby. I'm an ultra strong. I order that.
I don't understand how people still use one ply in this day and age.
My parents use Scott. I'm like, you got this nice house and you use this. I mean, if you want your butt to bleed. Well, no Mets fans' butts are bleeding right now. You know, they're taking shots of tequila. It's unbelievable. And we keep saying, and they ain't done yet.
And you can't overlook this David Robertson deal. And it looks like Steve Cohen said this. He said, you know what? I didn't trade a prospect for David Robertson. The Phillies did. Phillies ended up making the World Series. You didn't think that was in the back of his mind when David Robertson was a free agent? He said, I'll use my money and I'll get him and I'll win a World Series, something the Phillies didn't do in 2023. I'll go do that. And he got himself an elite setup, man, Figgy. This guy's been in the league forever. He's been consistent. He had some injuries mixed between, but this guy's been in the league 14 years. He's coming off a 2.40 ERA. He'll be 38 in April, but it's fine because it's a one-year, $10 million deal. This guy is a winning pedigree. He's been to a World Series. You know, he's played on winning teams nonstop, and he doesn't have to be the closer. You have Edwin Diaz doing that.
He's also pitched for the Long Island Ducks. But nevertheless,
haven't we all?
I think is very interesting about Robertson is that he continues to make adjustments, continues to tinker with his arsenal, continues to get better by watching, you know, how the game of baseball is being played, what the pitchers are doing. They're pitching high in the strike zone. He's been able to do that. He's been able to elevate his fastball and then use his slider. His changeup is outstanding out pitch. What you love about him is the three pitch mix. He's able to, you know, change speeds on those. He doesn't always stick to one thing. And his strikeout rate was actually higher this year than ever in his career. Over 30% of the batters he faced, he punched out. And this is without having a 99-100 mile an hour fastball. So while everybody else is rearing back and the hitters are starting to get used to seeing all this high plus velocity stuff and pitching up in the zone, he's able to move the ball all around. So I love the addition of Robertson. I would absolutely go nuts if they were able to get Ottavino as well to throw in the mix with these two guys.
That's the icing on the cake. If you have Ottavino, and we'll talk about, you know, Brooks Raley, Figgy, who's a strong lefty coming off a career year. You have Ottavino, Raley, Robertson, Diaz, amongst the other guys, McGill, you know, the Elise Hernandez that they got. I mean, we're talking about a stacked bullpen behind an already stacked rotation.
Yeah, you're not trying to figure out exactly how to pronounce people's names. These are some names that you've heard of before. These are the guys that have been on the back of the sports pages, especially in New York. So I think that's what you're looking for, is the marquee value of this team has skyrocketed. These are guys, again, that have done it before. You're not worried about, can they handle the pressure of New York? They've done it already. I think another one, Quintana. We haven't even touched on Quintana yet. Quintana was one of the most coveted lefties in baseball. And when he got traded, you know, he was one of those guys that were commanding four prospects when he got traded. And then he winds up, you know, he didn't struggle. He had some injuries. Now, all of a sudden, he's a guy that you add into the mix with this Mets staff, and they desperately needed a left-handed starter. You were hoping, you know, a Rondon. When you look at the price point of what you're getting for out of Quintana, a 2.98 ERA last year. Again, another guy who has figured out how to do things and continue to pitch in baseball. Pitching is all about
making
adjustments.
Another guy coming off the best year of his career, Figgy. Another guy who had the best year of his career right before he comes to Queens. You could argue that's a bad thing because maybe they're due for now and year.
Listen, it's not like Aaron Loop. It wasn't an Aaron Loop under one ERA type year. That's where it's like it's impossible to duplicate that. You're talking about now all of a sudden it could be a change in the pitch mix. It could be a change in philosophy. It could be a change in a million different things. And I think what you're going to have is that Hafner, if you're Jeremy Hafner right now, you can't even go to sleep at night. All you're doing is sitting up game planning for these guys and figuring out exactly what's going to be the best way to use all these different weapons and how to get the most out of each and every one of these guys. Cause it's going to be a sick rotation, a very, very powerful bullpen. And I can't stress it enough. They're not done yet. If they're able to add one more starter and you can bump everybody back down and you're looking at Tyler McGill, who's throwing 98, 99, being in your bullpen all of a sudden, then you don't have to go out and get another bullpen arm. You don't have to go out and get another left-handed arm with Peterson having to either be a triple-A starter to be able to, you know, just in case somebody goes down, or there's a multitude of different things that you can do. I mean, this is a time like never before where it's not about the money. It's about what do we need to be the best team possible come April 1st.
I almost want to say Senga's a lock. The way it's going right now, it just seems like we should just announce on Amazing But True that Senga's a Met. Like, let's just predict the future, put your bets in, your future bets, that Senga's a Met. The way it's going and the way the reports are going, that this doesn't mean they're out for Senga. And let's just put him in right now and look at the rotation. Verlander, Scherzer, Senga, Quintana, Carrasco. I mean, that is laughably good. Like, it is laughably good. Like, Quintana on some teams is a two. Carrasco on some teams is a two. Your one through five are all solid pitchers. And, you know, maybe they end up, and we hope they don't because we like Cookie. Maybe they shed that $14 million salary and go, you know, use that elsewhere. Maybe they get a DH. We'll see. But when you talk about Quintana, this is what I love about it, Figgy, is that you let Ty Walker go for a lot more money, and Quintana arguably is better, and he gives you a lefty, which you were missing. Ty Walker, good for him. Great clubhouse guy. He cashed out. He gets 4 years, 72. He gets $18 million a year, a long-term deal. Unfortunately, stays in the division. And this is also why we got to factor in why Steve Cohen's like, screw it, I'm all in. Because this division is really good.
Oh,
the Phillies are really good. The Braves are the Braves. The Braves have locked everyone up on the dollar menu on their team. I mean, they have gotten everyone on the low. So Steve Cohen's looking at like this, like, I'm not just trying to win a World Series. I need to win the division first because he saw what happened in the wild card and he doesn't want that to happen again.
But same thing happened to the division winner.
Yep. Yeah. Listen, and this is a three-team division. There's going to be a three-team race. You need all your horses. And a guy like Quintana is good because it gives you a lefty. You got him for $13 million a year where Ty was getting $18 million a year. So you could call that bargain hunting in terms. I know a lot of Mets fans are like, who is this guy? I mean, he's been in the big leagues 11 years. He had 32 starts yet last year, sub three ERA. And he is right now probably your four starter once you sign one more guy. That is just scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And it speaks to the level of how the bar has now been set. The bar has been set much, much higher. You know all the things that the Mets went through last year. And the reason why Buck Showalter wins manager of the year isn't because he had his five horses all year long and rode all five of those guys to 20 wins each. That's not what happened. Not even close. You're talking about day one, Tyler McGill's your opening day starter over Jacob DeGrom. And then Scherzer winds up going down a couple of times throughout the season, and guys just continue to pick up the slack. Peterson had some really good starts. He said you had just a multitude of guys figuring it out as they went along. Ty Walker was pitching like an all-star the first half, like he did the last year. Then you saw also Cookie Carrasco figured out how to get out of that first inning without getting bombed on, you know, giving up three runs. And he got better and better and better. So if you can imagine that they're able to take those guys that they were counting on last year and move them back out as depth, and you're adding Verlander and you're adding Quintana, and if you get a Senga, who is one of these guys that you keep hearing about that's a generational type talent. Like, there's a lot of guys that come over from Japan and they wind up, you know, obscurity. You don't really hear much about them. There's, you know, they'll pitch a little bit on the West Coast. They'll wind up getting traded to the Central. Dice K, you know, never really panned out to be the pitcher that they thought he was going to be. But this kid that they're talking about, Senga, is you're talking triple digits with the fastball. You're talking the what was it? The ghost split,
the ghost change, fork ball.
The How ghost fork ball. Oh no, trust me, I know exactly what it's in reference to. And it happens many a time. You throw that fork ball at that velocity, the arm moves like it's 103 miles an hour, but the ball never gets there. It seems to disappear right before it gets to the plate. So that late dropping action. So it's almost like a knuckleball that just drops, but it's not being a knuckleball thrown at 65, 70. Miles an hour. It's a knuckleball being thrown at 91, 92 miles an hour. So you could imagine a hitter sees the arm moving at 103. He's trying to gear up. That gives a fastball down the middle and the ball just drops and bounces on the plate. I've seen some ridiculous swings where the ball barely makes it to the dirt in front of the plate and these guys are swinging. And, you know, who's it? Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja, will show the sword of the week. You'll see a lot of those kind of forkball split fingers, especially from in the Japanese ranks, that they're just nasty. And it would be an amazing addition because his deal would be probably like a 5 to 6 year deal, which would make him probably your ace as you move past the Verlander and Scherzer.
He's your number three. He's an ace for most teams.
That's what I'm saying. He would be that guy that can be comfortable behind those two guys, learn everything he can from those two guys, still be himself. And then you're looking, you know, 5 years down the line, he's going to be the man for this team, alongside whoever else Uncle Stevie feels.
And you got to start thinking about that, like, because we're talking about right now, but like if you have him down the road, like you said, and he's your ace, and let's say he lives up to the hype, you're in good position. Mets aren't thinking about, oh, our you know, our farm system isn't great right now. Who cares? Win now.
We'll but they haven't even made. But the thing, the beautiful thing is, Jake, is that they haven't had to trade anybody. They still have all their cards. They still have every, their hand is loaded with prospects down there in the minor leagues. And that, you know, whether it's a matter of these kids coming up and performing, and you have a great nucleus that continues to grow. Remember that the Pete Alonso deal is the one that's looming after all this is said and done. That's 2 years down the line, 2025. So it's scary to think about. Everybody's nervous about it because, you know, the numbers are going to be astronomical for what he's going to be able to come. Man, there's no cheap in that one. There's not going to be a, you know, like the Atlanta Braves. Oh, by the way, here's 35 cents. Do you want it? And they take it somehow. Who was it? Albies, 7 years, 35 or 38 million, something like that. And he took it. Well, after your first year, you're going to say, I could go back to the minor leagues or, you know, they're going to have to pay me. And the Scott Kingery's of the world, where he got 24 million right out the chute. And that looked like a bust, but they never thought to even give Alonso a deal of that magnitude, or could they? He just won the rookie home run race. And when you're looking at what he's able to do, it wasn't going to come on the cheap. So it's going to be interesting. That's a guy that you're going to have to keep in the Mets pinstripes for a long, long time as well.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to maybe keep, if you want to keep McNeil, about that, unless they go Mauricio to replace him. But Figgy, this is the spending spree. I mean, Steve Cohen's theme song, we all know I'm a big Mamma Mia fan. It is ABBA's Money, Money, Money. And let me just quote the iconic ABBA, money, money, money must be funny in the rich man's world. Rich man's Uncle Stevie. Money, money, money. Always sunny. It's sunny in Queens and Philadelphia right now. In the rich man world, all the things I could do if I had a little money. It's a rich man's world. It's a rich man's world. It's Steve Cohen's world. He gave Brandon Nimmo 8 years, 162. Let's touch on that, because I feel like we've been talking about all the other ones and I haven't talked about the big fish. You know, he is a fisher. He is a guy who likes to fish.
Nemo. Listen, Nemo.
Yeah, Brandon Nemo. They found Nemo, and we said on the last show, emergency show, he said, I don't think we do 6 years, 150. Well, they got him 8 years for 162. So in some ways, they got him on, you know, Marshalls and TJ Maxx pricing, essentially. they got Gucci, you know, they had extra product. They sent it to TJ Maxx, and the Mets got it. 8 years is a lot, but it'll take him through his age 37 season. He'll be 30 in March. And this is a guy that's grown with the Mets, that knows the organization. They know him as well as anyone. The 13th pick in 2011, and is just 18 years old. He's been in the organization for a decade. His seventh season, he's had two kind of full seasons. If we get rid of 2020, 60 games, 2018, 140, 2022, 151. He's .385 OBP last year. He's a guy that gets on base, career high 64 RBIs. But Figgy, this is a solid value. I know it's a lot of years, but this is not a thing where in 5 years you're going to be like, we're still paying Brandon Nimmo, because he's going to be 35. I mean, it's not like he's going to be 40. So this is still kind of the prime of this guy's career. And we've seen that he's kind of only getting better. We know his defense got better. His arm got a little bit better. The chills that you got watching the catch against the Dodgers up against the wall, and just the spark he brings to the team. You know, the next step, like we talked about, is kind of stealing bases with the bigger bases. Let's see if he could start, you know, stealing 15, 20 bags a year. But for 20.25 a year, and with the other names we talked about on the market, and potentially having to move a 34-year-old Marte to center field, or signing a Brantley and moving Marte, or, you know, signing another corner outfield that isn't as good, the Mets said, let's give you more years, Brandon. We know his agent in Scott Boras, and, you know, a little less per year, but we'll give you 8 years instead of six. And I think this contract is a home run for the Mets, and it's a home run for Nimmo, because, you know, he's now going to pretty much be a lifetime Met. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. One of the things that you want to be able to do is control your destiny as much as possible. And if it works out that it's a team that you want to play for and a team that you grew up playing for, you know, 18 years old, he's just a kid when he signs over from Wyoming. First ever first round draft pick out of Wyoming. That tells you, you know, they thought he was a special player back then. When I first saw him back when I was working with SNY, his build was very similar to Hunter Pence. He just had that wide back. He's kind of gangly, a little goofy looking, you know, but then you saw this guy play baseball and you were like, oh man, I get it. You could see the speed, you could see the power, you could see the internal wheel that just doesn't stop. That's what you love about Brandon Nimmo. So when you think about 8 years in this contract and where is he going to be in 8 years, I'm not really worried about that. I'm worried about the first 4 years, the first 4 years of his contract. Listen, Jacoby Ellsbury got a similar deal with the Yankees and just was never that same player that he was to when he got that contract, right? I don't see Brandon Nimmo becoming that. I don't see the contract, you know, making the Mets have to use kid gloves with him or move him to a corner outfield position and, you know, hurt his feelings in any way. No, you know what? When he becomes 32 years old and there's some kind of special prospect that comes up that's going to play center field, no problem. You can move him to a corner outfield spot because his game is going to continue to play and continue to develop where he's going to realize how to use that power, when to use that power, but at the same time, be selective and keep the line moving because you know those bats that are locked up for years, more so than Nimmo even when you have a Lindor behind him. Those guys are going to be, you know, right there behind him. And I can't stress it enough how he makes this team go when he's out. It just one, not just one less than, there's three different facets of the game that hurt when he's out. And we saw that last year with a Marte when Marte went out, right? It was such a difference maker. Like you would just, oh man, if we had one more guy that could get on, that could run, and you do have that. You have those two guys back to back, and it's pretty special to have those two guys. Marte's in a deal for 4 years, so that's three more years we're going to have Marte. I think it's a tremendous get, and I think it's a tremendous value when you look at what's going on in baseball. If you look at the center fielders, I think there's like three guys ahead of him as far as average annual value. But they are kind of guys that are big power numbers. And once they lose that, look at Mike Trout. Mike Trout, if you look at defensive runs scored, he's a minus 15. Brandon Nimmo was a minus 3.3 when it comes to the defensive war. So all the plays that on the other side, Trout is like a 300 for his offensive war, which is ridiculous. But Nimmo has done admirably to be top five. And you know, he's getting paid like someone who should be top five.
And you know, he's worked his ass off to get here because like we said, he's battled through injuries. And that was something I was worried about. You know, some freak injuries, hit on the hand here, hustling out, whatever it may be. But this guy's been here a decade. I mean, he was 5-6 years in the minors, finally gets his chance, you know, had to fight it out with Juan Lagares, was a corner outfielder, moved to center, worked his ass off at center field. And listen, he is all smiles, a likable guy. And the Mets, what fans are excited about, Figgy, is their likable guy on this team. You start in right field, Starling Marte is beloved. I love him. You know, I had my plea for him to come back last year for the playoffs. He did. Love the right fielder. Nimmo, smiles, love him. Left field, Mark Canna, how can you not love him? Big league foodie. Guy eats. He's a foodie. He was good last year. He had a great start. Right off the field. Great clubhouse guy. Hard not to like Mark Canna. First base, I mean, come on. The polar bear, Pete Alonso. Second base, Jeff McNeil, flying squirrel. Remarkable season last year. Shortstop, Francisco Lindor, started to become beloved by Mets fans. Mr. Smile himself, big contract. And you want to talk about the long term and a guy here a while, he's going to be here a while. He's going to be here till I have children, potentially. I mean, we keep talking about that. I'm going to have kids, and Francisco Lindor is still going to be a Met. Well, I mean, we think. Who knows with me at this rate? But we think by the time I'm 38, 39, I at least have a wife, but who knows? But anyways, you got a shortstop you love. Third base, we already love Brett Beatty. And, he, you know, he's hurt. And Escobar, I mean, you fell in love with this guy. Every position you love. And then catcher, I mean, you probably are starting Francisco Alvarez at this point. I think the Mets are going to try to trade McCann and get rid of that contract. And then you're talking about Alvarez and Nito. And with all the moves they're making, it's something I can live with now. And just imagine if Alvarez is the hitter we expect him to be. And we're talking about not only a great pitching staff, not just a great bullpen, a great rotation, but a lineup that you love, players you love, player high character players, and a lineup that could be very effective. And that's not even mentioning, you know, the depth pieces, the Vogelbacks, the Vientos, the Guillormes, and, you know, I'm sure they'll sign another backup outfielder. This roster is shaping up to be a special one. And I hate saying, you know, it's only December on paper, but on paper, this is shaping up to be a trip down the canyon of heroes.
See, you make it so hard for yourself because when you do your preseason show, how can you go backwards? You can't go backwards. So we already know what you're thinking.
It looks so good. It looks like a surf and turf. The Mets roster is a buffet. It's the Legends Club buffet. It's the freaking
it always comes back to food with buffet. You, bro.
It's the suite buffet. It is a buffet right now, and it's a 5-star buffet. I'm not talking IHOP. I'm not talking Golden Corral. I'm talking Lobster Tail, baby. Delta Club, MSG, Lobster Tail, big-ass shrimp. That's the New York Mets. I'm hungry.
Let me go back to the QBC where we had talked about several different things, right? And we talked about on paper, but the rest of this division. We also talked about, remember, the new scheduling. You're going to be playing a lot more teams and less interdivision, which works out for the Mets. I mean, we just finished saying how the Braves are not going to lose a step. You know, you look at what the Phillies are doing. They're going to be a much tougher, stronger team, you imagine, than the team that barely made the playoffs but made it all the way to the World Series. So don't think that for a second that this means instant, oh, yeah, this is going to be a cakewalk. Not at all. But I do think that while we were complaining about the new scheduling and how that was going to affect division rivalry and the placement in the division. Now you're looking at it and you're like, I don't kind of mind that so much because you get to play outside of your division a little bit more. I just think we've said it for the last 3 years that it was always going to be down to those three teams. And it has been. And, that race, 101 wins, both teams, you know, wind up tying. Then you have, of course, the Phillies get in by the skin of their teeth. They're able to catch fire at the right time, go all the way to the World Series and really bludgeon poor, what was the pitcher? McCullers. Bludgeon McCullers as he's tipping pitches and they're leaving the ballpark. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, the Phillies are going to freaking win the World Series. And then the next night they get no hit. So baseball, there are no guarantees in baseball, but I do love the direction that this club is going. They're not nearly done yet. And if they are done, listen, they can go and compete right now with the best teams in baseball and still have a chance to win.
And the scary thing is they're not done yet. Bring Senga home to Queens. I mean, home. It's not really his home, but bring him to Queens. He'll make
it's
it
your
his
home.
Home.
It's your it's home. That home. Is.
Come to my home. You know, we'll have a nice dinner. Kodai Senga. Hey, Kodai Senga. Bring him home. This roster is incredible. And, you know, a guy we didn't really mention, Brooks Raley. This is a guy coming off his best year. 2.68 ERA for the Rays. Will be 35 next season. You know, he pitched in the KBO as well. This guy's dominant versus lefties. And you lost Joely Rodriguez, who was not really dominant versus lefties, but he was your lefty guy. And now you got Raley. You got Peterson. You have Lucchesi, although Lucchesi's probably AAA and then a backup, you know, if anyone gets hurt. But that gives you the lefty that you're so desperately missing. You know, you lost Aaron Loop and it ended up working. He had a bad year. But Raley is a under the radar kind of pickup here for the Mets that could be a huge part of this bullpen. I like that trade. You know, they gave up a prospect who had good numbers, but he was single A. He's still 4 or 5 years away. And to the Mets right now, they're not thinking about 5 years away. They're thinking about that window that Steve Cohen said. What did he say? 3 years? Mm-hmm. He said 3 to 5?
3 to 5.
And this is year three, right? Or is this year two? This is two. Year.
No, year three of Steve Cohen.
Yeah, it's year three of Steve Cohen.
First year was Lindor. The Lindor signing was the big move. Then last year with everybody coming back with Scherzer.
Yeah. And then, so this will be year three. So it's looking on the short end of that 3 to 5 year window for a world championship for this team. But Raley is one of those pieces that I think is going to go under the radar just because, I mean, listen, they've gotten Verlander, they got Nimmo, they got Quintana, they got Robertson. So it's going to fly under the radar, but this was a good move to get Brooks Raley.
Yeah, you need that lefty. And this is a guy who has toiled all over the world, pitching out in Korea, honing his craft. We see a lot of guys go out that way and come back. They go at an early age to make some money. They learn all they can from the game, come back, and they're a different pitcher. He's one of those guys. So it's a good move. It's a low cost move when you trade away an A prospect, but you're getting that left-hander who you desperately need, somebody that you can rely on, because I do feel it would suck for Peterson to have to go to AAA, but you're going to need that depth. You're going to need somebody stretched out. You can't just wing it and hope he's able to go 4 after sitting around in the the bullpen for, you know, 2 weeks. So I think Peterson might go down to AAA. Lucchesi could go down to AAA if they want him as a starter instead of a reliever. But he gives you that flexibility as a guy who's done it out of the bullpen before. And another one of these veteran guys who I love a team with veteran guys and still has some youth and some spark and things like that. I always go back to the Diamondback team that I wasn't a part of because I went in the Curt Schilling trade. That team, to me, it was those guys, it was their last chance. So Schilling and Randy Johnson and Mark Grace and all those guys, Luis Gonzalez, all those guys, you could see that the writing was on the wall that it wasn't about being a team of destiny. It was about these guys going, hey, I busted my ass way too long to make the last out of a ball game. I'm going to make sure I'm not making the last out of the ball game. Those pitchers riding those two horses, which is what you basically have now in the two guys that we have at the top. So I'm really excited about the makeup of this team. I know at Major League Baseball is always younger. But if you're wanting to win a championship, you kind of have to have that good mix. And there isn't a better mix in baseball than what they got going right now.
You almost forget Jacob DeGrom's gone. Like, it's almost like that didn't happen. The Mets have done so much that you almost forgot he existed, and you probably will with him pitching in Texas for the Rangers, where this guy said, I saw the vision the Rangers had to win, hearing the vision of what the Rangers want to do, and ultimately the vision of bringing a World Series here. That's the goal. And if you listen to the audio, he had trouble saying the words World Series. Like, he had trouble saying it seriously.
It's not as bad as when Harper said, can't wait to bring a championship to Washington.
Yeah. I wish DeGrom said it can't wait to bring a championship to the Mets. Oh, I mean the Rangers. But I mean, he had trouble saying it. And listen, he's got 188 million, possibly 222 million reasons to be happy. But the Rangers don't belong. The Texas Rangers do not belong in the same territory, the same league, the same stratosphere as Uncle Steve Cohen and the New York Mets. They don't belong in the same class. They're in kindergarten. The Mets just got their PhD. That's the difference. They're eating green eggs and ham. We're eating lobster tail. They're reading Dr. Seuss. We're reading Harry Potter or whatever scholarly book.
That's a
scholarly.
Oh, good God.
I haven't read a book in too long. They're reading One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Oh, we're reading God. The Bible. At least the Brandon Bible. Nimmo is. There's a... Listen, these are two different leagues. The Mets are winning the World Series in 2023. I'm pumped up. I got to calm down.
I wish guys were a little bit more like Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke was the best. When they asked Zach Greinke when he went to L.A., what was the reason for coming to L.A.? Was it the young prospects coming up? This team has a chance to win. He goes, they paid me the most money.
Yeah, DeGrom should have said.
Then he went to the Diamondbacks, and they said the same thing. Why'd you stay here with the Diamondbacks? And he goes, they paid me the most money. Point blank. No need to make up this whole, and you know, you got to say the right thing. Look at what's going on with poor Russell Wilson. Let's ride. Every time he says, let's ride, Broncos Nation, let's ride, or Broncos Country, let's ride. It makes your stomach turn, doesn't it? Because it feels so forced. And I get it. You want to buy in, but you can't buy in when you're not able to perform at that same level. So, you know, again, Jacob DeGrom did everything in a Met uniform that you could possibly want other than win a World Series championship. And you can't do that by yourself. He was admirable in 2015 when he started in the World Series. And those playoff games were magical. And that's where you started to see what this kid could actually be. He won two Cy Youngs. You can't take that away from him. You see, if he when healthy, one of the best pitchers on the planet. But it was a matter of, could you get him out there for more than just 15, 18 starts a year and productively and without the risk or without, like you said, holding your breath and checking your pulse to see if he's coming out in the third inning or he's, you know, something's wrong with him. So I think it was the right move. It's a smart move. It's a smart baseball move when you look at 188 million, possibly 222 million. When the deal's all said and done, that kind of money, not that Uncle Stevie doesn't have it, but there's have it and have it to burn. There's no reason to burn it when you can get back value on each dollar that you spend, which is what the Mets are doing now.
Steve Cohen is wiping his ass with the Mets luxury tax bills. He will buy you and your family. He will buy your children. He will buy your pets. He will buy your dogs. He will buy your cats. He will buy every free agent in sight. He is the best owner in baseball, and he means business. Good luck in Texas, Jacob DeGrom. Steve Cohen is my uncle. I've adopted him into the Brown family, and I would like 0.1% of his inheritance. He is building a championship and he means business and he will get whatever player he wants. And we've been waiting for this all 31 years on my planet Earth for the Mets to do something like this. And the time to win a championship is now. And 2023 is the year of the Mets. It's the year of Uncle Stevie. We mean business. It's showtime in Queens. We'll close out Amazing But True next.
I want to be a New York Met. People don't realize that I grew up in the Mets. So when I was 18, I haven't known anything different than the New York Mets. And I really turned into a man in the New York Mets organization. So there is sentimental value to it for me. And obviously, like I said, I don't know anything different. So it would be a huge shakeup for me if I went to a different team. Now, is that part of the business? It is. And I would deal with that accordingly. But I would love to stick around with the Mets. I think we have a great team here. I want to be a part of it. You know, as long as the Mets want me to be here, I'm here and I want to be here.
Oh, man, Figgy, I was fired up on this episode. I think it was all the Diet Cokes. I saw MJ the Musical, and like, while I did miss a lot of Mets news, it sucked. My phone was off. What a show. The Thriller number was incredible. I think Miles Frost is the actor's name. He is remarkable. When Man in the Mirror came on, my mom started just crying. She had her mask on, so I think her mask was just full of tears. But she was very emotional, and I was grooving. Like, I'm a big, like, Leo Mazzoni. Like, my head is always bobbing. I think it from banging my head on my pillow. I think I told you this, that before I would sleep, I would bang my head on my pillow. And first it was like, I hate Connecticut. Or it'd be like, or the Mets had like a bad loss and I would bang my head and be like, the Mets stink. The Mets stink. Or like, fire Terry. Or like, I'd bang my head against the pillow to whatever my mood was at that point. And that was like my drug, was banging my head on the pillow. But I was like Leo Mazzoni at the MJ Musical, just bobbing my head. What a great show. Anyways, I'll stop rambling now. That says goodnight to episode 128. It is goodnight because it's freaking midnight right now, of Amazing But True, our Mets podcast from the New York Post.
Thanks to you, Jake, for producing the show, as always. Catch up on all episodes of Amazing But True by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the New York Post Sports YouTube page to watch our pretty faces. But follow us on Twitter at Amazing But True, at FiggyNY, and at Jake Brown Radio.
The holiday season is here for us Mets fans, mm-hmm. and for all human beings.
Yes.
Are you a big, like, go see the tree kind of guy? Like, do you take your daughter and like, let's go see the tree this year?
Nope, not at 18 years old. I don't. She's seen the tree plenty of times. She's done all the, you know, the parade and freezing her butts off outside. Nope, we do things in HD at this house.
For Nels Figueroa, I'm Jake Brown. We will be back the next, I don't know if the Mets have any moves left in them, so this might be the last show till spring training. So we've enjoyed it. It's been a fun ride, but we'll see. You know, if they get Senga and a DH, we'll do a show. We'll see, but we had to hop behind the mic to talk about Brandon Nimmo, David Robertson, and everything the Mets did this week. We don't talk to you. Have a happy holiday season. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Enjoy your holidays. Enjoy your new year. Hopefully we do talk to you with a move, but we shall see. Thanks, everybody, happy for holidays. Listening to Amazing But True. Happy holidays. That covers everything. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
He will buy every free agent in sight.